In the book of Genesis, after Cain kills Abel, God asks him, "Where is your brother?" And Cain responds, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible, came into their final edited stage at the time of the exile, about the same time that Ezekiel was writing. And so that's a kind of a forebear of the notion of community that is throughout the Old Testament, that we are our brother or our sister's keeper, that we're responsible for one another, and that the community is above everything else. Judaism in the Old Testament period, and even today, is so communal. And the Christian church comes out of that, and so it is communal as well. And sometimes living in an individualistic society like America, we're kind of jarred with that. Everything is about the church. It's about the community. And so we do things in common. We do things publicly. And we're responsible for one another. And so reconciliation, which always has to happen in any family, any community, and certainly the church, reconciliation has to happen with the idea of bringing that person back into the fold, back into the community. So Ezekiel is appointed as a watchman, and God tells him, if someone strays from the community, morally or whatever way, it's your responsibility to warn them, to bring them back into the fold. And so that gospel story today is very similar. If someone has transgressed, if someone has offended you, go to them privately. Don't embarrass them in front of a bunch of other people. Try to resolve this quietly for their sake. But the idea is to bring them back. And if that doesn't work, then get two or three witnesses. And that's a very traditional thing. In Judaism, legally speaking, you had to have two or three witnesses before you could be believed. And so you bring two or three witnesses to this person. Again, with the idea of bringing them back into the community, reconciling with them. Notice that the church makes the first move. The one who is offended makes the first move. This is opposite of human wisdom, particularly human wisdom that is kind of self-centered and worried about the offense taken. It's a unilateral forgiveness. The one who makes the first move is not the one who offended, but the one who has been offended. You go to that person and you forgive them. This is so Christ-like. This is God, isn't it? The human community has alienated itself from God since the Garden of Eden. And God is always reaching out in reconciliation. God is always making the first move. St. Paul says it best. The amazing thing is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait for us to be perfected. Christ didn't wait for us to say we were sorry. He died on the cross for us in the midst of our alienation. And so the church, which is the body of Christ, has to act that same way, unilaterally. The church is always reaching out to the sinner, always looking for that lost sheep to bring them back into the fold. A couple of interesting things here. 2 weeks ago, we heard Jesus say to Peter in the gospel, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whatever you hold bound on earth will be held bound in heaven." And now today, Jesus says that not just to Peter, but to the whole church. There are only two instances of the word church in the Gospels. 2 weeks ago and today. Only time church is mentioned in the Gospels. And they're both about reconciling. They're both about the community and bringing people back into the fold. So Peter represents the church, but he also represents the ordained. He represents the hierarchy of the church. But Matthew's gospel is clear that it's not just the ordained who are supposed to be forgiving, but the church is forgiving. We have to be a reconciling community. We have to make the first move. We have to reach out. And the gospel says, if after you brought it to the church, they still are unwilling to be reconciled, to be brought back in, then treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, on first blush, that sounds like a condemnation, okay? You're excommunicated, you're kicked out, goodbye forever. But that's not the intention. How does Jesus teach treat tax collectors? He eats with them. One of the 12, Matthew, was a tax collector. God reached out to him in Jesus and brought him into the body of Christ, made him one of the 12. Jesus heals Gentile people as well as Jews. So to be treated like a Gentile or a tax collector, what that really means is these are people who particularly need reconciliation. These are people who need to be evangelized, brought into the fold. Not given up on, not abandoned, but prayed for all the more intently. To say that we are a reconciling, healing community in the church, it means that we are evangelizers. It means that we're worried about the lost sheep, and we may get frustrated and we may want to give up, but God never gives up on us. Next Sunday, we're going to hear another section of Matthew's gospel where Peter says to Jesus, how many times must I forgive? And Jesus says, 70 times, 7 times. In other words, endlessly. If you're going to be divine, if you're going to be participating in divine life, then there is no end to forgiveness.